When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome into LLFF. I'm Zach Clinton, and as most of you know, I have such a heart and a passion and an affinity for the mental health profession as I get the opportunity of serving as a counselor in residence. And today, we have two very special guests joining us. One is a professional counselor. The other is an executive coach. They are a husband and wife team that I absolutely love and admire. They are Tara and Jeff Mattson. They're out in beautiful Oregon where they work together on a tremendous ministry called Living Wholehearted. Well, what does that mean, you may ask? In a nutshell, Tara and Jeff help leaders with integrity in their homes, at work, and in their communities. But my friends, there is so much more to explore and unpack here today. I'm so glad you've joined us. So with that being said, let's get started. Tara and Jeff, welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
So good to be here.
Yeah, thanks, Zach, for having us.
All right, you guys. Well, we've talked a lot about leadership. We've talked a lot about integrity. But when we're bringing this into the home setting, right, within your marriage, especially within your kids, I'd be interested just on some of the leadership principles that you're trying to impact and influence your kids with on a daily basis and how you create that atmosphere and environment of integrity within the home. Tara, I'll start with you, and then I'd love to bounce to Jeff as well.
Yeah. So I spent most of my 20 years in career working with marriages, but usually with marriages that were children. Yeah. So I got trained in play therapy and doing a lot of parent coaching and then working alongside children and teens. And the gift of learning about play therapy was this phrase: it's not always what you do, but what you do after what you did that matters most in raising children. It comes from Dr. Gary Landreth, who created play therapy down in Dallas. And one of the things that I took into parenting was that, and it aligns very much with scripture, is that being human and being honest with our kiddos along the way, when we mess up, it's coming back and doing repair. That's most important in marriage. It's also the most important with our kids. And so it's less about perfection. In fact, almost children that see parents who are always doing things perfectly, which is not possible, but if they did, then what happens is they grow into be adults and going, I don't know how to handle my own humanity when I mess up. So the modeling in our home of really slowing down, really when I've gone too fast and maybe was a little too aggressive in a response, or being able to stop and say, are you okay with how that went down? And hearing my daughter's feedback. We've been doing that in our home from day one, even to the point where they will see Jeff and I having tension in our own relationship, a discussion, maybe a little more serious, and us having to come back around and saying, hey, girls, mom and dad talked about this last night, and we're doing good. Here's where we landed on that, because they'll see the tension. So it's always the coming back around, doing the hard work of saying, will you forgive me for that? Mm. And being willing to get the feedback, everybody using a voice in our home. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that we do in integrating what it means to live with integrity. And then asking our children to do that with their friends. We're doing a lot of that between siblings. They're now teenagers, older teenagers, yeah. So they've had a lot of practice of having normal sister tension and then having to do the repair later of, oh, I was just really moody, I was just really grouchy, or I shouldn't have said it that way. Mm-hmm. And really what it's doing is setting our girls up with a sense of integrity being about being honest, about willing to do, taking the extra mile to be able to do the repair. It's not about perfection.
Mm, it's good, because what you're saying is kids are incredible observers and terrible interpreters, right? Being able to slow yourself down, being able to model those things, and being able to just help them process exactly what's going on and how you can model those more effectively within the home. Jeff, anything that you would add off of what Tara mentioned?
Yeah. So being a dad with two daughters, it's really important to me. Both Tara and I feel this way. We want them to be confident in their voice, to have a voice in their future relationships as well. So they got to practice a lot. Yeah. That's where Tara's talking about that. So a big part of that for me as a dad, and for us as parents, we're kind of nerds for relationships. We're both, you know, backgrounds in pastoral ministries, and Tara in mental health, and we've done all these assessments and, you know, about wiring and personality. And anyway, we thought, when our kids were young, we landed on an assessment that just sort of began, we began to vet that sort of, game changer for us. It was just something that we would use to see our kids, right? Every parent wants to see their kids as accurately as they possibly can. Train a child up in the way they should go is more about bent and how they're wired than it is about rules and everything. So we wanted to notice as soon as we could and then try to reinforce what we would see. So we had them take this assessment. It's an assessment we use a lot called the Core Values Index. And for my oldest daughter, my youngest daughter, is like so illuminating, validating for us to be able to see them and see their wiring. See, it's not a Christian assessment, but this thing's got God's fingerprints all over it, man. It's the most accurate tool we know of out of all the instruments that are there. That's a big way that we're trying to do this.
I really
And I just want to put a plug in for Courageous Girls, Zach, if I can, because we took all of the work that we were doing with leaders in their workspace, in their home, and in their community, and we really, raising daughters in a world today, it's so confusing, and especially in the Christian communities, there's a gamut of ideas about what it means to be a female who loves Jesus today. And so there's a nonprofit that we started 13 years ago called Courageous Girls, and it really is an intentional way for moms to walk with their daughters at every stage and age of their growing years. It's clinical, biblical, and relational wisdom.
Wow.
And you can go to mycourageousgirls.com. But those intentional conversations and community, building community with other women and other girls to help these young women to really understand their own agency in the world and their identity and who God is. And then dads get to be a part of that if a dad is involved. Not dad, there's, you know, a lot of girls that don't have an involved dad, but if dads are involved, they can participate in many ways as well. So that's mycourageousgirls.com, and it's a free resource that is available for any mom who wants to really pursue her daughter's heart and to help her grow into a woman of integrity.
Tara, I want to ask you this, because there may be somebody out there who's a leader, even a mom and dad, somebody just listening in that's saying, you know, how do I know where I'm at in this integrity gap? What are some of the telltale signs of, you know what, there may be a gap right now in, again, your front stage and backstage? What do those look like?
Oh, great question. And there's a gamut of answers for that. But I think the first question that Jeff and I always want to ask a leader is, have you asked the people in your inner circle, your spouse, your kids, your close friends, if you have any, maybe your pastor, but have you asked for feedback? What do you see in my life? That is a scary question, that let me is. Just say. But if they really love you and they have the best for you, that would be a first question, is to say, give me some feedback. Do you see congruency between what I say I'm about and how I'm actually living? And then be ready to listen. And again, the part for leaders that's the hardest is to take our identity apart from our performance. Yeah. And so their response is not saying you are bad, you are loved, and you are a child of God, and you have a purpose, and you are pretty amazing in God's eyes, and you also have some gaps here and that's right. you need to work on. So both can coexist in God's economy. And it's similar to any parent who's trying to help their child grow, is to say, I love you, and we need to work on our manners at the table, you know, kind of that piece. So starting with feedback from the people you trust the most and you can hear. I wouldn't put it out on social media or your entire staff. You start with the people who are closest to you. And then we call these weeds, the weeds that show up in our life, you know, when we're starting to numb out, compassion fatigue, or you're just annoyed with everybody. Traffic is tough for you. I mean, people being late, when you're irritable all the time, when you find yourself always saying you're busy and it's a season and the season hasn't flipped over for a long time. When you want to come home and all you want to do is turn off and grab that glass of wine or turn on the TV or scroll for hours and you're missing out on the people you say you love the most. Those are some of the weeds that start to show up in our life, even to the point where you've got health issues and you keep ignoring it because you're too busy. You've got too many demands on your life. So those are the weeds that start to show up and are tell signs to say it's time to maybe get someone, a guide, a professional counselor, an executive coach, a spiritual director, somebody who can come with you and really help you slow down and get attuned with what's going on in your mind, in your heart, in your body, and in your soul. And that's what we're doing a lot of integration work at Living Wholehearted and helping people really, whether it's their thought life that's taken them down or whether they've just been living like a floating head and just living from what they think but never really attuning to how their body is responding or taking time for soul care. That would be a long-winded answer, but maybe a starting point for those that are listening today.
That's right. These high weeds that are popping up, and my wife's like, Zach, you need to get out there. You need to pluck those weeds. And so I did that, right, several weeks ago, and I'm plucking, and I'm on my hands and knees, and they were everywhere. And then I recognize, you know, a couple of days later, they're popping up again. And so it's going to take some time. And it taught me a simplistic lesson and principle, which is, you know, you may be picking weeds, but they may pop up in other areas of your life. And just be aware, as Tara's saying, of where these weeds are. And let's try to get rid of them in their entirety, right? Not just one by one, but let's go everything that we can possibly do and put forth that effort. You know, you guys, we've talked about all these different things. We talked about how to really press into community, be authentic, live vulnerably. We've talked about asking for feedback. But I kind of, as we wrap up our conversation a little bit, kind of nearing the end, I want to ask about some healthy leadership habits for wholehearted leadership that you guys have recognized in working with leaders, maybe even that you guys try to practice in your own personal lives. I'll start with you, Jeff, and then I'd love to hear from you as well, Tara.
Yeah. So, I mean, for us, Tara and I personally and our team, we talk about keeping the main thing the main thing. Jesus made it kind of clear. He said, look, remain in me, I in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Yes. And so, like, we use our concentric circles model. We just we feature that on our website and also in the book. But it's the frame that we created for ourselves, first and foremost, in our family, kind of order of life stuff. And I just say, God and I is at the center of that circle. It's a relationship. And he says, there should be nobody before me, right? No gods other before me. So that means that he's got to be the center. And I'm in a relationship with God. And so what does that look like, right? That involves self-care. He wants me to be close to him and to remain in him. Then if, you know, as a married man, married Christian man, my relationship with Tara, so it's my spouse and I, that's in that second circle. It doesn't come before the first circle, but it's the second circle. And then our kids, we have kids, so they're the third circle. We think that order right there, those first three circles, if you are a follower of Jesus, you're married and you got kids, that God, that order is supposed to be like that. Like, there's problems, right? When we put the kids before the spouse or put the kids before God, or yep. And there's lots of freedom, Zach, after that. So in terms of the things that you put in your outer circles, and I would just say that that is a framework that is we're trying to attune to. That's a way that we help leaders attune to when they fill out this concentric circles model and then sort of take the pulse regularly. Mm. That's what it is. It's not a legalistic thing. It's kind of a framework that allows us to take the pulse. How am I doing with living out my priorities, right? Yeah. What do I need to change? And in scriptures, you know, the metaphors for pruning are abundant, and there's wisdom behind that. You know, God, what are you wanting to prune in my life right now? Do I have things that are in my outer circles that are impacting my inner circles, the things that I need to protect quantitatively and qualitatively? Mm-hmm. So we use that concentric circles a lot. That's one practical rhythm. But we really got to keep the main thing. And it's easy, especially for Christian leaders, to start, talking about keeping the main thing, but not living it, right? And we feel that too. Tara may have some other thoughts and tips on that, but those are a couple that we believe in.
Those are great. Mm,
good thoughts, Jeff. And I would just say a healthy, wholehearted leader knows their story. You know, we want to all be empathetic and compassionate. And I know a lot of Christian leaders, they really do want to keep the people at the forefront of the task at hand. And yet at the end of the day, if we have not done our own work in our own story, it's really hard to give away what we haven't received. Yeah. And so learning how to be compassionate, to understand our pain points, have we grieved? I have this cheesy saying where I say, you got to feel it to heal it. And if you've not felt it and you haven't really worked through your parents' divorce, I mean, anybody can speak from a pulpit and share their testimony in 3 minutes, but have you really taken time to look under the hood and really see the impact of the different parts of your story? And when you've done that, man, watch out. Those leaders who have done their work in their own story really know how to meet people where they're at. They see people differently. And you'll do a better job of attuning to your mind, to your body, to your heart and your soul. So wholehearted leaders know how to ask for help. They know how to receive feedback and have learned to separate their identity from their performance. And then the last piece that I would say is we learn to attune to our human needs. We aren't superwoman or superman, to your dad's point, to that gentleman who's like, you're not that good. Yeah. And at the end of the day, we still have to eat. We still have to sleep. We still need to be able to have vacations, to play. How much is play an important part of being a healthy human being? And we forget this along the way in all our responsibilities. A healthy leader, a lot of what we're learning is going, what are my needs? And then how do I actually take care of them? Because different than a child that waits for mommy or daddy to make them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, adults say, I'm hungry, it's time to eat, and I go make myself a sandwich instead of just waiting for everybody else to meet those needs, or getting to the part where I'm starving and now I'm hangry at everyone around me. And
that's
so
right.
Those are some baselines of where we start, and the impact is enormous in the wake beneath us, whether, again, it's our children or those that lead in our organizations.
So many.
Hey, Zach.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, man, a lot of leaders will ask us, like, what's the point of having to look back? Like, what does my past have to do with anything with my present or my future for that matter? It doesn't.
Right.
You know, we get that, right? Type A, and we work with some tough cookies, right, that think that they don't need any of this stuff. But, man, we tell them it has everything to do with who they are right now and who they'll be. And so the looking back is to try to get that, know your story, get your trauma baggage down to carry-on size so that you can actually be more available to actually love others and serve others. Yes. If you're not, what you or I could be vulnerable to do is to be using others to get our needs met in unhealthy ways. And we want to do less and less and less of that. And especially if you're a leader that espouses to love God and wants to be a great leader or a good employee or have the respect of your colleagues. Man, if you're espousing these things, these are things that you're preaching, like, how do we live that out? We got to do this work to close that gap. So that's the point of looking back and knowing your story.
And my friends, as we kind of wrap up, how I love to close is I always ask our guests to share just a pressing word that God has placed on their hearts for such a time as this. And so who I would really appreciate you speaking into today is the leader out there who, again, has heard everything, but maybe still just feels a little discouraged by that integrity gap that they're beginning to acknowledge and recognize in their own life. They're deflated, they're disappointed, maybe even in themselves up to this point. And I want you to speak into them and just give them one final word of just hope and encouragement and motivation that you would offer for them on the road forward. I'll start with you, Tara, and then we'll close with you, Jeff.
Yeah, I just want to say that God sees you. And I'm reminded of the woman at the well who just felt so much shame from all the things that had happened to her and her responses to those and her own integrity gaps, and how Jesus just sat with her and loved her until she was willing to actually open up and see him for who he really is. And I just think that God is waiting for you to say yes. There's a gentle response, and we're not to feel shame about our integrity gaps. It's meant to be a conviction to step in toward and to say, he's here for us. You're not alone. And honestly, this, if you're listening to this, I'd say this is a turning point for you. Think about and ask the Lord who would be the first person you could confess to you and to say, I just need to start to share more of who I am and moving forward in this journey. So ask for help. Don't be afraid. And this is what God does. He takes all the stuff of our story and he helps us and weaves it into something that is greater, far greater than we can even ask or imagine. So he wastes nothing. So this prompting in you, you're not too far gone. There's nothing under the sun that's too far gone for our God.
That's right. He never wastes a wound. This could be a turning point for the leader out there listening today. Jeff, how would you close this out, my friend?
You just said that wound, and it doesn't waste a wound. I say that he never wastes pain. Mm-hmm. And to those of you that are listening, that many leaders, they experienced pain in their stories. And if it's unresolved, if you haven't worked through it, it's leaking, you know, whether you know it or not. And you really want to go back. It's worth it. That sense of feeling like God is helping you become more whole and healed is priceless, and it is worth the journey. Slow and steady, right? Just enter in and ask God to help you take the next steps with people that would be trustworthy, and take that long journey, right, towards getting that baggage down to carry-on size. And the cool part is that you get the energy back that you are. Have been and currently are wasting, potentially trying to manage all of that subconsciously and consciously. You get that back and you get to spend it like a currency with God on behalf of yourself and others, that he would use you to influence. And don't you want to do that with authenticity and energy and a sense of with him? Mm-hmm. That's what's you can pursue, and it's worth it. So go for it and do it with others that you can trust.
To all the leaders out there, you know, where can all of our viewers and listeners go to find out more about both of you, Jeff and Tara, but also to maybe even hear more about Living Wholehearted, as well as purchase the book, Shrinking the Integrity Gap Between What Leaders Preach and Live. Tara, where can people go?
Yeah, go to our website at livingwholehearted.com and you'll see our professional counselors and our organizational and executive coaching.
And all of those things and all of these resources will be in our show notes today as well. So if you need to go and scroll down just to check out those websites, to check out those emails, whatever it is, be sure to do that today, because I'm telling you, as my dad would say, you know, in our sporting world, you guys are game changers. But beyond that, I think you guys are life changers and you guys are world changers. So I'm super grateful for you from all of us here at the AACC, Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Thank you so much just for your time, for your willingness to join us today. And thank you for the work that you guys do and investing in the lives of those who invest in others. Thank you, Jeff. And thank you, Tara.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit AACCFoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.